In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Such a simple, short story.
This, and it's nice to see all the smiling faces and all the families. It's I think for me one of the most special things on Christmas Day is to see families all coming together. Lives get so busy, don't they, that we don't get too many opportunities to just come together and just to relax in each other's presence. So my prayer is that today is going to be a really, really special day for you. Up on the stage we have the Christmas scene, a stable, and in there's a baby. I noticed the baby went home yesterday and has come back again today. So the baby's back again today, the baby in the manger. It's a lovely scene, isn't it? Wonderful setting in a beautiful stable. It's probably so lovely. You probably wish that could have been your reality. You know, when you were having a baby, wouldn't it have been nice to have some smelly barn somewhere and nowhere for the baby to go, and you have to put them in a food trough? You would have loved that reality, wouldn't you? That would have been so beautiful. What a lovely setting. And I can imagine that for Mary and Joseph, it was no more attractive to them than what it is to us. Somewhere over time, we've kind of made this almost this mystical, beautiful setting, but it wasn't that at all. It wasn't a part of Mary and Joseph's dreams. You see, life for Mary and Joseph really didn't work out how they had planned at all, or even how they had hoped. It wasn't what they had expected. I would imagine for Mary and Joseph, their plan was that they were going to get married. They'd been pledged to be married together. That was the Jewish way. But it seems like Mary and Joseph were really happy about that. They were looking forward to getting married. And then when they got married, then they were looking forward to having kids. And that's the way it's all supposed to happen. And no doubt that was their hopes and their dreams. They wanted an opportunity to build their life together. Having a family together is what they expected. But then an angel of the Lord changed their lives, and their world was really placed in a spin. He came to Mary and he declared, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words, as you would be, wouldn't she? She was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. "You will be with a child, even though you are a virgin, and give birth to a son. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High." Now, I have to say, to Mary's credit, she wasn't overly fazed by that, and she accepted those words as truth. But it clearly changed her plans. Getting married and having children with a husband is the normal way. Having an angel come and have a chat in your ear isn't quite as normal. For Joseph, he was struggling to accept Mary's words, as you'd expect. But he loved her and he was willing to care for her. He was not going to make her hold on to any wedding vows that they were going to make. And she was going to cause Mary to not have any shame. He loved her to bits. The world, their world, was tossed upside down. And so were their plans. Now, I'm certain there would have been in that community lots of talk, lots of gossip, lots of summations as to who the father of Mary's child may have been. It would have been a time of great shame in the eyes of everyone else. Their world is tossed upside down. Not only would the world, this information of Mary's impending birth of her son be a shock to them, it was also a shock to the whole world. But even though it was a shock, I think Mary and Joseph would have started to make preparation. That's a normal thing to do. I think what they would have done is they would have organised a midwife, and they would have got everything they needed to make sure that they had all the baby stuff ready. There would have been the baby monitors and the disposable nappies and the baby capsules. And I don't know, do donkeys have anchor points? I don't know. But they would have had all of those kind of things already. And just when they thought this uncomfortable situation that they've made the most of couldn't get any worse, then in rides these soldiers from out of town. And these soldiers ride in and they basically declare it's tax time. It's tax time. We have this new tax system, the GST of the ancient world. And all of a sudden, you all have to go to your hometown. That news is difficult for most people to accept, but when you're 8.5 months pregnant and having to take a journey of something like 120 or 130 kilometres, it's not much fun. So did you decide? Did you decide? Did Mary travel on a donkey or a camel? The kids couldn't decide in that movie. Do you know which it was? Which was a donkey or a camel? Sorry? A golf cart. Okay, a golf cart. I think they probably walked, to be honest. I don't think that, it doesn't mention whether there was a donkey or a camel. They were probably walking. 130 kilometres, 8.5 months pregnant. How much fun does that sound like, eh? And then it even gets worse than that. I just thought I'd let you know that one of the things is, not only is it difficult, but when you get towards the end of the journey, the trip from Jericho up to where Bethlehem is kind of 1,000 meters above sea level. So it's an enormous trip up a mountain range to get to the last part of the journey, which must have been really exciting as well to have seen up there is Bethlehem. We don't actually have it recorded, but I think one of the things that we need to recognize as well, that as much as Mary and Joseph might not have screamed out, God, what on earth are you doing in our lives? I'm sure that that's what they were thinking. I'm wondering whether they thought, Lord, why would you put us through all of these difficult circumstances? They'd been taking a journey that they hadn't planned for a reason that they would have hated and at a time in their lives that they didn't need. It were going on a journey that was dangerous. It was going to cost them money that they didn't have. All on this journey. I think the only way that they could take that journey is as long as they believed that God really did have everything under control. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we need to walk by faith, not by sight. I just want to talk a little bit about the journey that Mary and Joseph actually took. One of the things we don't realise is as they're walking this path, this journey that they're taking, they probably realise that this was a very special path they were on. They were walking the same path that Abraham probably walked. Don't know whether you remember Abraham, their forefather, who was promised by God that a day was coming when he was going to do something for the world, something special for the world. The salvation of the world would come through Abraham. And Mary and Joseph are actually walking that same path. They're walking the same path that Jacob, Abraham's grandson, walked. When he was walking along, he actually dug a big well. 1,000 years before Mary and Joseph got there, I think Mary and Joseph would have stopped there and had a drink at that well as well. They also would have gone past or stayed in Jericho, the very city that Joshua had knocked down and had seen the glory of God. So I don't know whether Mary and Joseph had time to think about it, but they were on a special path that was the fulfillment of all that God had in store for the Jewish people and indeed the world. As they look at all of these things, you'd say, well, now the journey must have got easy. I don't think it did. I don't think it got any magically, it didn't get easier for them. As they finally trudged their way up that mountain, and finally get to Bethlehem, we read the words, there is no room for them in the inn. But I don't think we should actually get too phased by that. If you try and get accommodation around Sydney today, I think you'd probably find there's no room in the inn in Sydney either, or in Melbourne, or lots of other places. That's not the bit that I think we should get concerned about. I think one of the things that should knock us around in our thinking a little is there was no room for Joseph and Mary with Joseph's family. in Bethlehem. His family came from there, so there must have been family around, but there was no room in their homes. There was no room in the homes of Joseph's friends, the people he grew up with, the people who he would have spent time with. There was no room in their houses either. So it's a moment of loneliness. It's a moment of rejection as they get to Bethlehem. For them on that night, a baby is born. But the scene is not something that is all that spectacular. And even though that's the case, they still realize that they are blessed. But in a stable, baby in a manger, is not what they would have wanted for their little boy. None of us would want that setting to start a life of our babies. On that night, there was no angels or heavenly choir singing glory in excelsior to Mary and Joseph. That was happening to the shepherds out in the fields. But Mary and Joseph didn't hear that. There was no star over the stable, or if it was there, Mary and Joseph wouldn't have seen it. Their scene was just Mary having given birth to their little boy. And for me, as I read this whole story, the saddest bit in it all is they didn't even have anyone to tell the story to. And that, it's a bit sad, isn't it, to think, you know, this exciting news and you want to tell the world something and there's no one to tell. You can tell the cows and the sheep, but that's about it. And so the fact that as I read this story, that the angels came to the shepherds and told the shepherds that a baby had been born and that they need to go see what has happened, I think is an exciting gift to Mary and Joseph. That there are people who are turning up at the stable who are as excited about this baby as they are. As we look at the story, childhood plans and hopes are thrown out the window. Ridicule and rejection has become their friend. They've got no other friends, no other family. They've had to take a journey that they couldn't afford financially or physically. They had nowhere to stay in Bethlehem, no one to share their exciting news with. It would be really easy to look at this whole story and say, God, what have you done? Why have you left us? Why have you treated us so badly? It would be easy for us to think that, but that's not the whole story, is it? It's not the whole story as well. We understand, don't we, from our own lives that life can be messy and there can be real burdens. We know that that's the case. But for Mary and Joseph on that night, they knew as much as their life was full of struggle, and it didn't get easier, their lives in the forthcoming years was also difficult. The fact that God could arrange shepherds to come and visit, the fact that God was working out wise men coming, the fact that their lives were blessed, says to us that God is always there for us, even in the seasons that we don't understand. Yes, they had difficult life moments. Their plans had to be altered. But all of a sudden, the difficulty of that journey disappeared. In that moment, they knew that God loved them and God was with them. We read actually in chapter 2, verse 19, these words, Mary treasured up all these things and she pondered them in her heart. They became a special moment for her. I think as we all sit here today, we all have a story to tell. I don't think there'd be one of us, there may be, please talk to me afterwards if it's the case, but not one of us have had our lives work out quite the way we probably dreamed or imagined. There may be bits of our life that is what we hope. Maybe you're as a little girl or a little boy, you wanted to become a school teacher and you ended up doing that. But really, through life, life has thrown us lots of curveballs. It's gone lots of different directions that we wouldn't have planned, we wouldn't have imagined. And maybe your life today is right in the middle of one of those curveballs. And you think, how on earth did I end up here in these circumstances? And the problem is when we get in these moments, and particularly if it's a moment that we wouldn't have hoped for, we're quick to get to that point of God doesn't care about me. Well, who is God anyway? that I could be left in this situation. Can I just say to you today, the story's not done yet. The story's not done yet. As much as you might not understand this moment, just as God did for Mary and Joseph have a plan that was beyond what their dreams and hopes are, God has a wonderful plan for each and every one of us, which is beyond what we could dream or imagine. There are words that we often speak in church and come from Jeremiah, and I think they're words for all of us to take notice of today. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a future. God hasn't left you. God hasn't forsaken you. In this moment of curveball, in this moment when we don't understand, we can know that God is caring for us and working out a plan that is beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. Can I encourage you over this Christmas time to turn your trust and faith into God and accept the reality that He has a plan for you that is truly amazing. Let's pray together. Father, we look at Mary and Joseph's life and we realize that it was a very difficult journey. We also understand that it was a long way from what they had planned. And yet, Father, you did something far more wonderful in their world than they could have hoped. Father, we realize that that's your plan for us as well. You have promised that you care about us. You have promised that you want what is best for us. Father, would you help each and every one of us to just trust you in the circumstances we find ourselves in? May we be found talking to you about our circumstances. May we be found listening to what you are saying to us, so that in these moments, they can be moments we rejoice in, celebrating the fact that you are with us, caring about each part of our lives. And may we all remember that the story's not done yet. There is still a story to be told. In Jesus' name, amen.